take a moment to say thank you to David for giving me this opportunity. Many of you have seen me over the past couple of years, and for new folks, you may not know me. I have known Pastor David and his wife Nancy from Church of the Palm Beaches, and we were thinking about this probably since about 2008. And David and I went on a mission to Cuba together. And on short-term missions, you always sit there waiting for one thing or another to happen. And we were blessed. We started sharing, you know, what were we doing on this mission? And we both said, well, we felt called to be missionaries, and yet we had our careers and got on with our lives. And yet that call is still there. And, you know, today, what I'm going to talk about, you guys may feel a call as well. And I'll tell you, the church can use every single person in some capacity or another. So it's just an honor to be here, and I thank you, David, for this privilege. So I'm going to read today from Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Actually, I'm going to use the Message version, but you do have your pew Bible if you want to join in that. David's doing a sermon series from a book called Why Jesus by William Hamilton. And the story of today's sermon is called Why Jesus Storyteller. In Mark 4, verse 10, when they, Jesus and his followers, were off by themselves, those who were close to him, along with the 12, asked about the stories, the parables. And he told them, you have been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. But those who can't see it yet, everything comes to them in stories, creating a readiness, nudging them toward receptive insight. These are people whose eyes are open, but they don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but they don't understand the word. And they avoid making a change in their life. They avoid getting forgiven. Jesus goes on and he says, let me tell you how this works, how my stories work, and all the stories work the same way. The farmer plants the word, and some people are like the seed that falls on hardened soil. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan comes along and snatches it away. And some are like seeds that land in gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed can also be cast in weeds. And this represents the ones who hear the kingdom but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things that they have to do, all the things they want to get. That stress strangles what they've heard, and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we're into the third chapter now. Why Jesus, and I finally got it, reading this chapter, why Jesus. I thought it was, why would I want to believe in Jesus? Why would I want to tell my neighbor about Jesus? But I got this whole new insight. You know, one of the beauties of being a child of God is we get to ask, why? Why God? And in this case, the disciples asked, Jesus, why do you talk in riddles? Why do you talk in parables? So, in praying about this, I didn't want to just do a book report or talk about the chapter. And I would encourage you all, it's on Kindle if you like it electronically. It's just a really good book with a lot of insight. And in this chapter, he does a good job of retelling the parables in modern terms, which I think is helpful for all of us. But what I want to talk about is something that really struck me in my heart. It's the majesty of God, that he knew how to speak to everyone, wherever they were. He speaks to us today, which is the continuing miracle, like the yeast. The word of God continues to leaven our heart and our lives. So I want to try an experiment, so I'm going to skip around my sermon a little bit. I want to try an experiment about silence, because I think that's the hardest thing when we don't hear the Word of God. It can be the most frustrating in our lives. So I want to go to the first chapter of John. And what do we know about the first chapter of John? The most powerful words that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And there wasn't anything made but by that Word of God. And that Word is the light that has come to touch the hearts of men. That Word is Jesus. The power of it, when God spoke, He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So I'm going to try silence for a second. In the beginning was the Word. Silence is hard. It's difficult. And often in our lives, that's what we feel like we experience in our walk with God, is silence. So, as we're talking about the parables, and as we're talking about Jesus, the storyteller, what we're really talking about is the power of the spoken word. We're talking about the power of relationship. That I think back to the garden and the beauty of the Garden of Eden. And I think for all of us in our lives, that's kind of that place we want to get back to. Some place that's peaceful. I know I'm thinking about retirement, some peaceful place where I can just get back to the land, where I can get back to having time with God. And to me, the miracle in the garden is that Jesus walked, or God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God walked with Adam and Eve. And then there was silence. Adam and Eve made a very poor decision. And the outcome of that decision was a separation from God. They left the garden. They left that communion with God. And we read all through the Old Testament, it's a struggle for the children of Israel to come back to God. It's a struggle. There's so many marvelous stories in the Old Testament, and we know that in Jesus' day, that's what they had. That's what they knew about God. They knew the stories of the Old Testament. And there's even parables in the Old Testament. We don't really realize that, but maybe one of the most famous parables was when King David had sinned so grievously against God. And Nathan came to him, who was a prophet, and he said, he knew through the power of the Spirit that if he had just called David out on his sin, David would have just shut him out. He might have even had him killed. But Nathan, through the power of the Holy Spirit, spoke to David about a rich man and a poor man and a sheep, a little lamb, something David could relate to. David was a shepherd. He knew what it meant to take care of a flock. And so David said, you know, this rich man stole the only thing that that poor man had, this poor sheep. And what happened to David? He was so outraged by what had happened that he said, well, justice has to be done. And what did Nathan say? David, I'm speaking about you. And it was only that realization that his heart had been touched, that he could receive that word, and that he could truly feel in his heart that he had sinned, and that he could ask for forgiveness. And that's the miracle. We can ask for forgiveness. But we first have to understand that we need that. We need that relationship with God. So God spoke throughout the Old Testament through prophets. And then the miracle of the Word coming and dwelling among us, the Word being light and life in the presence of Jesus Christ, who came and He walked, who came and He spoke the Word. And And the power for us is that we have that same word here. And sometimes we're worried because we don't understand it. And that's okay. That's okay because that's what God wants. He wants you to read it. And when you read it, He wants you to have that dialogue with Him. You know, God, I get it. Some of these parables are a little far out. I don't get it. They're odd. That's what He wants. He wants us to say, why? Why, Jesus? Why did you speak in that way? Some of the parables are more easy to understand. I think how many people are very familiar with the prodigal son? That's the one that I think we all, when we hear a parable, we naturally think about that. And that's a beautiful story because many of us can identify with the younger son that asked for his inheritance and went off and squandered that inheritance and then came back and said, you know, Father, forgive me. And what did the father do? He threw a party, an extravagant party. So what happened? The older brother who hadn't left, the older brother who had been faithful. Some of us can identify with the older brother. We felt anger that our father would forgive this younger son who squandered everything so much. That's a story we can relate to because the father, he loved both sons. And he wanted the best for both sons. And he wanted to show his love. He threw a party, an extravagant party. And then he probably missed the first part of the party to go be with the son who was hurting and feeling, I've done everything for you. How come you're throwing a party for this brother of mine who has trampled our good name, who squandered our money? Because I love both of you. Come into the party. That's the way God is for us. God wants us to know His extravagant love. So as you read the word, let that word be like that yeast that makes up wonderful bread. Let it touch your heart. Let it be open. So we know that Jesus didn't just speak in parables. And again, I think that's the absolute mastery and power of the Word of God. So as I was praying about this, I think one of the most powerful stories in the New Testament is the story about the woman at the well. And it's not a miracle. It's a story, a straight-out story. And the miracle of it was that Jesus is passing through a land where those people weren't in the quote religious context that he was from the Jewish walking with God in the way that the Jewish religious folks in that day thought. Those people, the woman of the well, was of the people who were looked down upon. And the miracle is that when Jesus asked for water, the woman was shocked. Why are you asking me, a Samaritan woman, for water? And Jesus said, but maybe it could be a little bit of a parable. I'm asking you for water, but I have the water of life. Whoever drinks of my water never thirsts again. When you pull water out of the well, you have to keep coming back to the well. But I have the word of truth. Jesus spoke that. And then what's amazing about the story of the woman at the well is that Jesus spoke the absolute truth to her. He didn't hide it in any kind of a parable. He told her exactly what was going on in her life. And I think maybe that's something that we fear, is that if I get before God, is He going to point out all those sins of my life? But you know, God meets us where we are. God has no desire to destroy us. He has no desire to destroy our self-image. He wants to build our self-image up into a positive self-image. So Jesus spoke the truth to this woman. And you know what was so beautiful? She goes, you must be the Son of God. You must be the Messiah. And she ran off and told everyone in her village, come and see, come and meet this man who must be the Messiah. He knows everything. And what happened? They came. And we can only imagine the revival. And what we know in hindsight, because of the Word, it was like a foretelling that Jesus, in the end, was saying, I came for everyone. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. To me, that's powerful. He knew when to use a parable, and he knew when to speak in plain words. And why? Because he knew the heart of the receiver. He knew that that poor Samaritan woman, she already had no self-confidence. She already was caught up in something so horrible that she didn't know how to get out of that part of her life. But Jesus gave her freedom, and he spoke in plain words. And the miracle is she received it. And then she went and spread that word. Now let's go back to the parables. I encourage you to go read Mark 4, 10 through about at least verse 14 or 15. I think it's pretty hard words. I chose the Message version because it's not as hard to study that, but when you read it from just about any other version, what Jesus said is very difficult. For example, this I think is the New American Standard. So Jesus said to his disciples, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, they get everything in parables. Wow. It's basically saying, you can go into Matthew and he spells it out even more in that. It's almost, what hit me was, how Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and God had to do all the signs in order to get Pharaoh to finally set the children of Israel free. Sometimes we can't receive the truth. And that was what had happened to the very religious people in Jesus' time. They were proud. And they didn't need Jesus. And if anything, he was a threat to them. So, you can see it foretold in the Old Testament that Jesus would have to speak to them in parables because they weren't willing to receive the truth. So he had to use stories that would make them curious, that would sort of plant a seed in them, and then they could go back and think about it, and hopefully that word would soften their heart in such a way that they can then accept Jesus and ask to be forgiven. So, we don't always understand. It's a mystery, but it's powerful. What I want you to take away from this morning, a couple of things. Most importantly, read the Word. It's like leaven, it's like yeast. It makes incredible bread. Let it touch your hearts and lives and enrich you. The other thing I want you to take away is it's okay to ask why. It's okay to say, but why, Jesus? I don't understand that. What Pastor Coleman says in here is that he's read some of the stories his entire career. And there are a few parables he still doesn't understand. And that's okay. It's okay. The important thing is build a relationship, spend time with God, spend time in the Word, and in prayer, ask God, why? Build that relationship. Let His Word touch your heart. Thank you. Thank you.